Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and I thank you for the encouragement that it is to us and the guidance that it is in your life. I thank you for this particular chapter, which really points to the open invitation to seek you, and also just how blessed we are and what a privilege it is to have your word and your thoughts and your counsel available to us. So I pray, Lord, we'd be encouraged and have our attention turned to you as we dig into your word this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is one of my, one of those favorite chapters. It's a great chapter, this one, Isaiah 55. So let's dig into it here this morning. It really is an invitation to, invitation to the abundant life in a sense. Jesus, John 10:10, he talks about the thief. Our enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he came to give life, and life in abundance or abundantly or to the full. And here we've got an Old Testament chapter that points to that very same thing. And we'll see the invitation and also the responsibility on our side as to, you know, what we do with that invitation. And there's both the offer of salvation and also the offer of here's my word, or the declaration of here's my word. So verses 1 and 2 says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." So wine and milk being the expensive things, or as opposed to the, you know, lowly or worthless things, they're important. "Come buy without money, without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance." So really, it's a beautiful invitation. And the New King James says, "Ho," or I think, "Hey," it's just grab your attention. So, hey, everyone, if you thirst, come to the waters. And whether we thirst or not for the Lord is a critical thing. Those who do not thirst do not see the need for a Savior. Those who do not thirst for God's counsel do not see a need to learn His counsel, His word. So this is important, that we have the thirst, that we have the desire. Now, I would say if we feel like I just don't have the desire, it just doesn't seem to be there, it's not like it there like it was, if we're in a drier time kind of thing, persevere, be faithful. I think that when a person is sick, sometimes you just don't feel like eating. You don't feel like getting a drink of water. We know if you get dehydrated when you're sick, that's not a good thing. You need to keep. So there are times when it's like, you know, I don't feel like it. But hopefully we understand enough to go, I still need this, even if I am in a drier time. I don't feel like it. So come. The encouragement, it's more than an encouragement. It's an encouragement, it's an invitation, it's a command, in the sense that if a person doesn't come to the Lord, there's consequences for that. So what the Lord offers is free. If you don't have any money, that's okay. You don't have any money, you don't have anything to offer, doesn't matter. What the Lord offers is free. So come and buy and eat, whether you have resources or not. And of course, we know the gospel, salvation is through faith. It's not through us earning it or somehow buying it. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? Your wages for what does not satisfy? It's a good question, and it's the Lord asking this. And He is asking this of us. You know, if it's true of us, at least. Why do you buy what is not bread? Why do you take... I think we could put it this way. Why do you take what I've given you and spend it on what does not satisfy? So the time, our time, our talents. And for some, you know, there's a point where this is a very, like, hey, this needs to happen. You need to come to the Lord, as we'll see, while He is near. I think sometimes for us it's a reminder. You know, we are children of God and we're seeking Him, but we do get, you know, off on different tracks where we're spending for what does not satisfy. So this is a hopefully a reminder that the Lord offers what does satisfy, and all around us we have all these options, a lot of options that do not satisfy. We're encouraged to go in directions that are dead ends, if you will, and do not deliver on what they promise. So we see there's a possibility to spend our time, our talents wisely, or to spend them foolishly, if you will. The second portion of verse 2, listen carefully to me and eat what is good. So here's the instruction. So listen carefully to the Lord. Eat what is good. Intake what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. And so then out of that there will be good fruit, abundance in life. So listen carefully to the Lord. Well, how do we do that? It's time in His Word. Sometimes it's taking some time simply to be quiet before the Lord. And to eat what is good, well, it's intaking, it's meditating upon, and then there's the obedience part. If we think of eating something, there is an action to it. And so we are called to listen carefully, but then also obey the Lord. So, and in context of verse 1, it's don't just hear the declaration, but actually come to the Lord. Verses 3 to 5, along the same lines, starting in verse 3, incline your ear and come to me. So I picture turning your attention to, like, leaning in to hear. If you can't quite hear something, like, I'm starting to get deafer, I think, as time goes on. I find myself leaning towards people sometimes. So lean, like turn the attention, like try and sharpen that hearing if you didn't quite catch it. Do what it takes to catch what the Lord is saying. So incline your ear. Come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. So, that instruction to, again, incline, listen to, pay attention to the Lord. And then the mention here of David and the everlasting covenant. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. Of course, this is Isaiah in the Old Testament, and now we live under the new covenant of Jesus' sacrifice of his shed blood for our sin. So that covenant of grace under Jesus, and not to get into it too much, but this doesn't negate the Old Testament and the law at all. So we get a fuller understanding of the Old Testament as we see it in the light of the Messiah having come to the earth. And so we live under the new covenant, which the Old Testament peoples all look forward to. So we just happen to live on the other side of it, where we know that Jesus came, that he was born in Bethlehem, that he died on the cross, that he rose again, that he will return one day. So we have we're blessed to have this fuller understanding and as living under the new covenant. And so something we can be very thankful for. I think of the Old Testament people of faith and their longing for the Messiah, but I suspect kind of like us looking towards the end times and Jesus' return, we have a picture of it, we have details, and yet we probably have different thoughts on what that might look like. I'm sure the Old Testament people of faith had the same ideas, and I wonder if any of them actually had all the, you know, Bethlehem and Jesus' ministry and that week before going to the cross and the resurrection and then the early church. Probably they did not. And so I keep that in mind as we look at, we're not looking at it today, but end time events too. We try and understand as best we can and understand that the Lord, if he wanted to give us an exact timeline, he probably is capable of doing that. So it's good to have study and have conviction on these things. But anyways, back to the point, we're blessed to live under the new covenant. And it makes this chapter and the invitation, I think, all the more rich as we see Jesus in this. And so it talks here of David too, and of course he is definitely lifted up as one of, if not one, or the greatest of Israel's kings, certainly, or leaders. But we understand that he was not a perfect man in any way, shape, or form. So I'll say this about David, it was more about his understanding of the Lord than his perfect record in life. So a man after God's own heart, so a man who I think we can put it this way, a man who understood God to a greater degree than most, understood the heart of God. He really had an understanding, it seems, of God's justice and also his mercy. For an Old Testament, you know, so not living in the light of Jesus, he understood that God was sovereign yet merciful. And we see different accounts in David's life where we see this in operation. So he was a witness for Israel, and then Israel witness to the nations around them, but a very real witness of a true relationship with the Lord. And I think we can say, when it comes to David, part of a relationship with the Lord is knowing how to repent to ask forgiveness and repent. So we see that in David's life. Terrible, egregious sin at points. Some really just kind of dumb mistakes with a whole range of consequences in David's life. So there were many consequences for his sin. But he, in those times, and especially when he committed adultery and murder, essentially, we see repentance and turning back to the Lord. And so I think that's really important, just as living an obedient Christian life is an example and a witness, so is repentance, so is asking for forgiveness, so is admitting mistakes. And if we can practice this before the unsaved world, they notice. They notice our mistakes, but generally not many people are good at asking forgiveness or repenting. So when we do that, that also is noticed. And of course, in our homes, this is important to put into practice. So David, very much a witness. And these, the sure mercies of David, we experience those mercies as well. Let's move on to verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. These are great. There's great wisdom in these verses. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. So now is the time to seek the Lord. Now is the time to receive forgiveness and grace for those who do not have faith in the Lord Jesus. Now is also the time to practice inclining our ear to him, you know, learning from his word, you know, praying, having communication with him. Now is the time. And I think for us as believers, sometimes the greatest challenge is it's not that we disagree. It's like, no, I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to seek the Lord. It's the challenge is it's like, well, I'll do that tomorrow. Or I'll do that. I'll get to it later in the day. That kind of thing. And it, if you're like me, quite often one thing leads to another and the day's gone. And there is that sense that tomorrow never comes. It's always something that's in front of us. So now, so I like what it says. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And it really speaks to now is the time. Don't put off what is important. And so part of it is having clarity in our minds of what our priorities are. So what's important? And sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, there's just so much stuff, and the urgent, just, you know, we deal with it. You know, we pick up the phone, or we, you know, the kids need something, or there's all kinds of things, right? The job demands this or that. And we automatically do those things, but it can fill up our time. And so having clarity on what's important, those things that we will not forget to do keep shoving to the back. And so in this, I think it is important to go, okay, I can't do everything in any given week or any given day, but these are the things, the non-negotiables. And so how is that going to happen? Wesley's mother. Is it Susanna? Any of you remember? I was reading about her a while back. But anyway, she, what did she do? I forget how many kids. It was a lot of kids. Yeah, in the teens. And her prayer time apparently was taking her apron and putting it over her head for an hour or whatever it was, and the kids knew not to bother her during that time. So that's some prioritizing and dedication there. So maybe we have to get creative sometimes, but we will do what is of the utmost importance to us. It does not mean it's easy. In fact, it is quite often quite hard, yet worthwhile. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And then verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So for the one who's lost their way or gone off track, is the statement's quite simple. Turn back. Don't worry about, well, I've sinned too much, or the Lord doesn't want to see me, he doesn't love, you know, how could he love me? All these kinds of things. Forsake your way. Get rid of those thoughts. Don't dwell on those thoughts. Return to the Lord and he will have mercy. So the Lord is abundant. God the Father is abundant in mercy and loving, and he will have mercy. And as it says at the end of verse 7, for he will abundantly pardon. Picture the prodigal son coming home and his father. What was the response from the father? Essentially, it was really just open arms. That was the response. And for those of us who are parents, if we think of a child, that's really, you know, the response. We just, you know, they're hurt. We have open arms for them. And our Heavenly Father is so much more loving, gracious, merciful than us. So turn. Repent, and he will pardon. So these are great truths for both the unbeliever, specifically here, and the believer too. We go off track, get back on track. That's a simple instruction. Return to the Lord. Verses 8 and 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There are certain, like if we could have the whole Bible memorized, that'd be great. Most of us don't. I don't. There's certain truths, facts that are just good to remember, even if you don't have the verse memorized, word perfect. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. God's ways are, his thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways, and that is a fact. And while we, our desire is, and the invitation is to grow and mature and understand God's thoughts and his ways more and more. In fact, that is, in Jeremiah, it talks about, you know, if you want to boast in something or glory in something, glory in this, that you know and understand the Lord. So it's something we're encouraged to do. But it's still under the umbrella of God is God and we are not. We're not God. His ways, his thoughts are higher than ours. And hopefully that helps us with having the desire to go, hey, I wonder what God's thought is on this. In my life, what's God's desire in my life in this area or that area? What would his way be for me today or in this situation. And so bringing these things, you know, it's something that this is kind of like an umbrella to live under in general, but then also bring it more personal. Okay, I know God's thoughts, his ways are higher than any human beings, but then they're also higher than mine and significant to today. So, Lord, how does this apply today in my life? Verses 10 and 11, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So, one of my favorite passages, really, on the Word of God, it's this reminder that our Bibles are the Word of the Lord. And so, how do we view it? And here is this picture of a God's Word as it goes out from Him. It's not idle words. Most of us can probably think of words we would like to take back or would regret having said at times. That's not the case for God, right? Like there's no, for Him there's no, oh, I'm going to need to change that. I need to revise that. Whoops, I shouldn't have said that was a little too harsh, or that was a little too, I was being too nice there. They're going to, that's not, like we live with that kind of thing, but the Lord does not. His word has a purpose. Just as the rain waters the earth and causes, it's part of what is needed for fruitfulness on the earth, so God's word is to bear fruit. And it has a purpose. So rain has a purpose. It's essential. God's word has a purpose. It's essential. Verse 11 says, it shall not return to me void, or empty, or without fruit, we could say. So it has a purpose. And that means we can, as we approach God's word, as we listen, hear, seek to put it into practice, we can talk to Him, and the desire of our heart, I believe, should be, you know, what is your purpose, Lord, in my life? And this can be big things that we're, you know, this is a big decision. I don't know what to do. Lord, you've got to give me wisdom here. It can be the small things. What is your instruction? What's your counsel? What's your purpose, Lord? And then I think in a general sense, as we listen to the Lord and as we have His word memorized, as we over time are impacted by certain truths, as we practice obedience, there's a fruitfulness that comes about that we may not even be aware of it happening sometimes. You know, we look at specifics, Lord, I need your wisdom here, I need it there. But in obedience, there becomes a fruitfulness in life, the fruit of the Spirit, if you will, that happens as well as we grow deeper in relationship with the Lord. So, and like David, understanding the heart of God more and more. So, a critical thing what do we believe about the Word of God? And what I mean by that is when we go to our Bibles or when we think of them, you know, is it the Word of God, in the authoritative sense? So in going into it, am I seeking, because the picture here in this chapter is listening. And so not bringing our own agenda, to the table kind of thing. It's listening. And I think there can be, at times as we go to God's Word, it can be with here's what I want, and I'm going to see if I can find permission, if you will, or an endorsement in Scripture to do what I want. It's kind of like springboarding. Here's my premise, and I'm going to go see what I can do to back up my position. And I've been in that spot. I think we can all slip into that spot sometimes. But I think one of the biggest changes in my life, and I think for Megan too, is when we kind of grew out of the, how would I put it? It's the going to God's Word, but there's still a, I have my will that I want to be done, and kind of a pick and choose, and not the recognition that God's Word is the final word, and that His thoughts are higher than my thoughts, and His ways are higher than my ways. And so my responsibility is to listen and try and understand what the Lord is saying, as opposed to taking a concept, which might be kind of shaped by the world, and go in and try and find support for it, which usually looks like picking verses from different places and packaging them up. And it's very easy to have that happen. So, but really it's shaped by what's my understanding, what's my belief. If my conviction is that God's Word is God's Word, and I'm to learn from Him, and I'm to set my will aside, then we're in a pretty good place as far as understanding and learning from the Lord, and not getting off track down different, falsehoods, really, is what it turns out to be. So, just an excellent portion of Scripture to review from time to time, be reminded of, or memorize. God's Word has a purpose. You put into practice God's Word in your life, it has a purpose. It will not return void. It will not return empty. That's a promise that you can count on. Verses 12 and 13. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So in God's people, when we turn to the Lord and listen to Him, His Word will work in our lives. And there will be joy and there will be peace as a result. It doesn't mean everything's smooth sailing. Some people promote the idea that if you have God's favor, everything's going to be good, basically, right? You'll be healthy, you'll be wealthy, and honestly, I don't know what Bible they read, because it's just not, look at the, Hebrews and the people of faith that are lifted up. Most of them went through things that I don't really want to go through, right? And But they are honored before the Lord. Their lives brought glory to the Lord. And their faith, we see their faith in Scripture quite often because of the hardship they went through. And so the Lord will choose, you know, how things go in our lives. Sometimes we make decisions that bring a little extra hardship. The right thing to do is still turn to Him and ask Him to make good out of, well, however you want to put it, the years the locust have eaten, or the ash heap that we feel like we're with sometimes, right? Turn to Him and He will. His word is still His word. And it, wherever we're at, when we listen, we put into practice, it will not return void. And so instead of thorns, the cypress, so instead of weeds in our life or barrenness, when we seek and follow the Lord, He will bring about fruitfulness. And all for the Lord. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. We look to the Lord for restoration. We're born into a world that's fallen. We do things that don't help at times, but the Lord is the one who restores. Through Christ, we are restored in relationship to God. When we sin, we ask for forgiveness, we repent, we're restored to fellowship with God. It's all for His name, it's all for His glory. And that, I think, should be our desire in life, to hear from the Lord, to desire that our life glorify the Lord, and daily seek Him. And He'll do bountiful things in our lives. There's that promise in this chapter of fruitfulness, abundance. What it all looks like in our lives in the day-to-day and over the years and the works that He has created for us in advance. That's in the Lord's hands. But Jesus said, you know, about the worries and the cares and the, in particular, the worry about the future and things like provision and stuff. You know, seek me, seek first the kingdom of God. And the details, the needs will be looked after. So seek the Lord now, while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. The future, you know, I don't think it's a bad thing to have plans and pray about plans, but hang on to them somewhat lightly and don't worry, don't fear. So, and we live in a time of fear, so how do we combat the fear of the unknown? Seek the Lord today while He may be found. Find peace in Him today. We don't know what the future holds. I mean, really, if we think about our lives, is there any given day where we really knew what tomorrow would bring? You know, when we think about it with an eternal perspective, no. So we find our comfort, security, peace in the Lord. So wrapping up, the Lord makes an offer. He makes an offer to us in the salvation sense of a choice. He makes an offer to us as believers. Here I am, seek me. Listen attentively. Don't buy what is of no value. Come and take freely from me. Come to me now, receive abundance. That's the invitation. It's there every single day for us. It does require listening carefully to him and practicing obedience, which may not be a perfect thing, but it's a desire, right? That we desire to obey, that we do take steps of practicing God's word. And it's in that eat what is good. So practice what is good that comes from the Lord. And so I hope this is an encouragement. Hey, we're in a new year. Who knows what this year holds? So that can be a fearful thing, or that can be an exciting thing in the sense that we know who does know what this year holds for us. And we know that he also holds us in his hand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And I thank you for the open invitation that we have to come to you and hear from you. And that your word, it is living. It is active. And it's so sharp, like it cuts so finely, it can divide soul and spirit. And this is the word that is freely available to us. And so, Lord, I pray that we would have a desire, that we would prioritize our time, not to have a checklist that's just, I read my Bible, that's good, move on. But, Lord, that we hear from you. And that's really what this passage is saying, that we actually are attentive and hear from you. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us, that your Holy Spirit would fill us and lead us. And in all this, help us to be attentive to your Spirit, to your voice, and to talk to you in prayer. So, Lord, I pray that we would grow in our relationships with you, that like David, in the one sense at least, we would grow to be people after your own heart. And so I pray your blessing on us, Lord. Those who couldn't make it out this morning, we lift them up to you. If any are unwell, Lord, we pray for their healing. And I do pray for your guidance as time goes on. Lord, we want to keep meeting and honoring and glorifying you. So we look to you for direction in that as well. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.